This is Bob Ferguson, and I am the executive director of the Sustainable Living Coalition. We were asked last summer to help coordinate a rewilding project mapping for animal crossings. I think there were 10 teams, and we broke the county into quadrants. Our county is very rural, and each one of us took a quadrant, and we ran around and took pictures and never realized how big Jefferson County was. A lot of bridges and culverts to examine. So that's what we did, and then we fed data into a bank, and we're aggregating that and looking at that as a beginning for asking ourselves, how friendly is our county to animal crossings?
I am Sue DeLost, connected with Bob and Lee through the Sustainable Living Coalition, and as a board member, jumped on board with the rewilding project.
You actually helped create the teams that went out on the bridge storming.
Yeah, we had a lot of people interested, and everybody was super excited about being part of it and was very positive.
Leland, would you introduce yourself?
My name is Leland Searle. I live in Marshalltown, Iowa. For some years, I've had a small business in ecological consulting and restoration ecology. And about 2 years ago, I was contacted to joining a group of people who are supporting rewilding in Iowa and in the Midwest in general. They saw this as a need because the center of the United States really has paid no attention to the ideas of rewilding, whereas the West and the East Coast region has given a lot of attention to this. And we would be key to having continent-wide rewilding in support of nature and the recovery of natural processes. So the center of the U.S. is really crucial, and we're heavily promoting the Midwest as a potential area for rewilding. There are a couple of key concepts. In rewilding, cores are large areas that support a lot of biodiversity. And in Iowa, we really don't have sufficiently sized cores for a number of reasons. On the other hand, a corridor is simply a linkage. It's a link between different cores, allowing the wildlife to move back and forth. And while we have some large areas in Iowa and the Midwest that resemble cores in being a few hundred or a few thousand acres in size, we have very few corridors. Those have been completely disrupted by human activities. So those two things are crucial to having a wild landscape or one that supports nature. One of the problems in having effective corridors is that the land is fragmented into pieces here and there. And some of the things that break it up are bridges and culverts and roadways. By putting in roads and infrastructure and cities and all sorts of things, we've created artificial limits to the ranges of animals. So the idea was to go out and evaluate some of those barriers. So, for example, most bridges present the problem for a large mammal that it can't pass underneath the bridge. It has to go over the roadway. That puts a lot of things in danger, humans for one. And there are places in the state that have high accident records with causing damage and injury and loss of life to humans, but also to the animals. Can things like dragonflies fly past the roadway without being hit by a vehicle? We're driving over things like ants and other creepy things on the ground and never know that that happens. And yet ants and many other very small critters, the spores of fungi and ferns and what have you, are all crucial parts of our biodiversity. We're hitting a lot of things without even knowing it. How do you create knowledge and awareness of these barriers? So the idea was to go out as a demonstration project in Jefferson County and actually evaluate using a scoring system. We identified the bridges from the existing DOT maps, and then Sue and Bob organized the county into different areas for each team. So each bridge in the county was evaluated.
And what actually happened?
Well, I think Lee has described pretty well the purpose of the bridge and culvert evaluation. we had a form to fill out, and we had the fun of going, driving to the bridge, in some cases biking or walking to the bridge, and evaluating the bridge and imagining oneself as a snake or a fish or a skunk or a deer or a wolf, and asking myself, could I get through that thing?
But no, when you say bridge, you mean the roads that were bridges where animals could go under the bridge. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So you're looking at the bridge as a way of an animal being able to get past that roadway without having to go over the top of it. And so we gave the bridge a rating of 1 to 3 for each kind of species. That was kind of fun. Like I went to one side of one bridge and I said, oh, that's going to be easy for a fish to pass through, until I got to the other side and there was a iron mesh down into the water all the way down. Well, then I had to say, if I'm a fish, I'm out of luck. I have a snake or a bug. Yeah, probably. So that was actually how we did it. The idea was to look at how can wildlife move around in the county? Can they get under a roadway using the bridge? Well, in some cases, yes. Even if you were a deer or a wolf or a bear, you could get under it. And so maybe, Sue, you could describe a little bit about how we got the DOT maps.
Yeah. One of my projects was to contact the DOT people and explain what we were doing and ask for their help and maps that they might have already created for the bridges in the county. I'm sure we didn't do every bridge, but I think we did about 8 to 10 bridges per an area. Most of us were out for the majority of the day, actually getting out and looking at the bridge, like Bob said.
When you were at the bridge, was there anything you did to kind of move to the point of view of the animal from whose perspective you were going to be evaluating the bridge to be that animal?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that a lot of people don't think of that at all. You know, we're all pretty self-motivated. I mean, we actually got out, kind of walked around, looked at the bridge from the top, and then we went from the side, both sides of the bridge. And some of them we even did kind of go underneath if we were able to, just trying to think if I was that animal.
One bridge where I looked on one side, it was this bucolic kind of view where the water had pooled out and there was actually a beaver that was living there. There was a beaver lodge there. Then I went to the other side and there was this metal grate that was probably put there to keep, you know, stuff from jamming up the culvert. But I realized that, okay, that was going to severely impact anything bigger than a bug and a snake or a very small fish that could fit through the holes of the mesh.
It broadens your horizons on what could or couldn't move through there.
After you did that, it did affect your perception of things.
It definitely gives you a different perspective of how we can do better and actually should do better in thinking about our wildlife. The rewilding itself, it's really been enlightening to me. I'm a photographer and I'm hopping out of my car all the time to take pictures of animals and beautiful bridges and things like that. What I found interesting as a person that does that on a regular basis was coming at it with a whole different perspective. So that was something that struck all of us, was the difference when you actually get out and are trying to come at it from a completely different perspective, an animal as opposed to a human.
One bridge that I remember, I just came to mind. This was kind of a terrific bridge because it was almost like a railroad trestle bridge, you know, wooden down into the mud on the side of the, and any animal that would be here in Iowa could negotiate that bridge. So that was very encouraging, and lots of everything kind of in between. I would look at the water flow. In one case, there was this large pool of water on one side. I said, oh, well, I guess like if I was a fish, I'd do pretty well. And then I went to the other side. It was totally dry. Probably not for the fish. So again, even the perspective of being aware of how we have messed up our streamways, straightened them for agricultural reasons, then shooting the water down and destroying the capacity of the land to hold the water and getting flashy events and erosion and all that. And then seeing how even in some large cities, particularly in Europe and Asia, they have seen it appropriate to spend the billions of dollars to take down buildings, find the original stream bed and reestablish a stream bed in a city. How cool is that? We're really talking about real stuff, particularly if you're not on the East Coast or the West Coast.
And I want to add a little bit on that. You know, in my heightened awareness, there's been different things that have come across in other areas of the world. Some of these beautiful bridges that have been created for the animals to use as needed. I mean, the bridge was made with that purpose for the animals to be able to cross over and under easily. And when I look at that, I'm so happy to see it. It just brings a kind of a peace to even look at that and see the animals. You know, they have cameras up where they can show the animals using those beautifully made bridges. And it's just wonderful.
Creates sense of rightness.
Yeah.
That you don't even realize you were feeling the wrongness about roads until you see that. And then something kind of falls in place.
But it's also sometimes frustrating as to why we haven't been more on board than some of the other countries. But instead of getting mad and upset about it, you know, just trying to figure out how do we be part of the solution. You know, sometimes you feel alone just because not everybody seems to have the concern. But I was really happy to see the people that were willing to be involved. We had people come on board easily and quickly. And then the response afterwards was very positive. So I feel this past year with this project, we as a group made a very positive impact. That to me is exciting and very hopeful for things to happen in the future. And I think that we need to, as humans, heighten our awareness and be less selfish with our environment and not only think about us. You know, when we saw some of these areas, I mean, you see all kinds of garbage and, you know, like I said, barriers that, and it just continues to make me feel like we need to take part in how do we do better, be part of the solution as opposed to the problem.
Bob, did you experience that as well?
Definitely. We live our life in our anthropocentric perspective, using the natural environment, but not really connecting in any kind of significant way with the fact that we're an animal too. And we absolutely depend on the ecosystem services until they go away. We go, whoops, what happened? This, to me, is a very, very important thing. And the way we went about it, we got many dozens of people actually thinking about their relationship to the natural environment. And without that, we really are lost. So it's way more than simply doing something good for nature. I think a lot of the internal chaos people feel from being disconnected, I hate to break it to you, pal, but you're part of nature. So if you're doing that, you're doing it for yourself.
So Lee, could you briefly describe now what happens with this data that was collected?
The idea is to look at the bridges and eventually maybe even culverts in each waterway. And that tells us about how well connected that watershed is or how badly connected.
What is the actual call to action then that will come out of this?
One is to appeal to local people, begin mentioning this to their local leaders. Legislators, for example.
What are you asking them to suggest to their local public officials?
Well, that they look at, well, how can we budget for making functioning corridors, creating wildlife crossings or underpasses by using a larger type of culverts? And of course, they require budget and political will.
Will you provide a model?
Yes. Specific designs already exist. I'll throw in, too, just as a passing thought, this activity is a model for what people in any county in Iowa can do to evaluate their landscape. It would be wonderful if the home of KHOI, Story County, would get something like this going. Story County has something like 288 bridges alone, not counting culverts. And some of those bridges are old, and many of them will remain active and be rebuilt or refurbished in the next years because they're aging out. Well, if there's going to be budget invested in refurbishing those bridges in Story County, some attention should be given to making them better as crossings and part of a corridor system. So, hopefully we can devote a few spare seconds and some brain cells to that.
I'll put that in the back of my brain to see what comes up. Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have a good day. It was very nice talking with you.